All right, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you look in this psalm tonight, Psalm 42 and 43, you'll notice that some of the NIV text notes, they'll mention that this psalm was probably one psalm. If you look at it, there's a pattern that kind of follows through. There's a phrase there that's repeated. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. If you notice that, that's in verse 5. And then in verse 11, and you go to the next chapter, and there it is again, word for word, in verse 5 of chapter 43. And there are things in life that disappoint us and bring us down, don't they? Have you guys ever felt down? No? Hallelujah. That's got to be the joy, right? Have you ever been down about something? Disappointed about something that didn't work out? I was reading in my Bible reading this morning, Proverbs 13, and it said, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Sometimes you're just hoping for something, and it's right there before you. And you're just like, God, I hope this works out. Oh, God, I hope she's the one. Oh, God, I hope this is the job offer that you've set apart for me. And you're hoping, and all of a sudden God says, nope. And He just takes it off. And you don't know if it's a no yet, but it's deferred. You know, hope deferred makes the heart sick, doesn't it? Have you ever been down? Have you ever felt disappointed? Maybe you've been hit with some financial problems. Maybe you found out somebody was gossiping about you. Have you ever felt down, brothers and sisters? I think each and every one of us in here would say that at one time or another, that we've been down. And some of us have an easier time dealing with this than others. Yeah? Because some of us are just, we're just created a certain way. Alright? And we have an easier time dealing with it than others. But make no mistake about it, everybody's got to deal with feeling down at one time or another. You know, musicians. Musicians are often of the melancholy personality. Musicians are often of the melancholy personality, and if you know anything about the melancholy temperament, there are strengths to melancholies. A lot of melancholy strengths are that they have a musical creativity. They tend to be very, very deep. You know, they'll be able to see something simple and get something deep out of it. You know, Shakespeare was probably a melancholy. You know, very poetic. You know, that's melancholy temperament. There's a lot of strengths that come with that. You know, I can try with all my heart to write music. I've tried, okay? Yeah, I can play a little bit of guitar. So I remember in high school I thought, you know, I write a little song, you know, for the girl I liked. And it wasn't really coming out right, or it was coming out all right, but then I couldn't remember it the next day. So, you know, I would just like take Bryan Adams songs and then change the lyrics, you know. Or I would try to write poetry. From seventh grade, I wanted to be a creative writer, because in my English class, my teacher, she saw that I wrote poetry, and she thought it was good. And she really like applauded me and encouraged me to go into creative writing. So I was actually going to go to, I was praying to go to the school that Boys to Men went to, the School for Creative Arts, Creative and Performing Arts, CAPA, as a famous school in Philadelphia. And I wanted to go there for creative writing. But later on I found out that, you know, I'm not that poetic after all. Okay, I went to my high school, Central High School. We had a magazine publication called The Mirror. And The Mirror is where people express themselves. You know, poetry and little short stories. And I wanted to contribute to The Mirror. But every time I open up an issue of The Mirror, and other people will read it, and other melancholies will read it, and they will say, wow, that is so cool. And I'll read it, and I'll be like, wow, that's so cool. Yeah, I think that's cool too. But I had no idea what was cool about it. But the melancholies could kind of like, you know, explain the depth of this poetry and what the person was probably getting at. And I was just like, hey, line 2 and 3 don't rhyme. Look, this doesn't fit here. Look, this is too long. I don't know. You know, I just didn't get it. And I never ended up submitting anything to The Mirror. All right? Probably best that I didn't. Because I realized that I'm not that poetic after all. Miss Alice, I guess she was just being nice to me. Or perhaps I was the only one doing the homework. I grew up in Philadelphia, and you know, not many urban kids like poetry. But melancholies are really good at that stuff, because that's their strength. But with those strengths, melancholies also have their weaknesses. Melancholies tend to stuff their anger. They're introverts. So they don't talk about their feelings. So what ends up happening is, one little thing that bothers you, you don't talk about it. Maybe your sister is supposed to prepare your lunch. And you love tomatoes. But every time you open up that sandwich, there's no tomato in there. And it bothers you, but you don't say nothing about it because you're melancholy. And you're hoping, you know, small hints that she'll get the point. But over and over, she forgets that tomato. And then 3 months later, you guys start arguing about something that has nothing to do with anything. And all of a sudden you bring out, and you never put tomatoes in my sandwich! And you start getting really upset over not having a tomato in your sandwich. That's what a melancholy does. They have these very big, extreme mood swings. And they don't occur that much, but when they do, oh, it's pretty big. Melancholies are also emotionally sensitive. They're very sensitive individuals. And you wouldn't be able to tell because they don't say anything about it. Sanguines, on the other hand, they're sensitive individuals. But they'll tell you right away. You know? If you hurt them, they'll cry right on the spot. But melancholies, when you hurt them, they're waiting for you to go to sleep. They're a lot more emotionally sensitive, even though you can't really tell. And what you notice about today's passage, Psalm 42 and 43, is here we have a musician. And this musician is probably a melancholy. And what you notice is this melancholy musician, the psalmist here, he talks to himself. He talks to himself 3 times. The rest of the psalm, he's talking to God, he's making a prayer. But then, in the middle of the psalm, 3 times, he talks to himself. Have you guys ever talked to yourself? You ever talk to yourself? Raise your hand if you ever talk to yourself. Yeah? Alright, that's good. Yeah? Now you might be thinking to yourself, look, I never talk to myself. I'm sorry, all right? I don't really relate to everybody. Okay, I never really talk to myself. Maybe I did it just to try it out. But like, why do people talk to themselves? Christian, why do people talk to themselves? This is crazy. I'm not doing this. But I remember my sister. Is she here? When I was growing up, man, she talked to herself in German. And it used to freak me out, all right? It used to freak me out. And I just remember thinking, oh, that talking to himself, that's not right. All right, that's just something, I don't like it. And it's a little odd. But sometimes talking to yourself is the best thing you can do. It might seem odd to us, but let me be the first to tell you, if you've never heard it before, talking to yourself, talking to your soul, is biblical. It's biblical, baby. Okay, I'm not advocating that you go around, make that a regular occurrence, all right, where you talk to yourself. Okay. But there are times where it's appropriate. Psalm 104:1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself. I don't want to praise the Lord. I don't want to praise the Lord. I don't want to praise. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Christian, you need to praise the Lord. Psalm 62:5. We just sang it today. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. Psalm 116:7. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. If you were to counsel somebody else, you would say something like that. You know? Look, the Lord's been good to you. Jennifer, the Lord's been good to you. And you just need to find rest in Him. Don't be anxious during this time. You need to trust Him. But when we are down, we just get down sometimes. And we stay down. And when you stay down, and you get down, you stay down, you go more down. That's just the way down works. You down with that? But if you were to talk to somebody else, you would say that to them. You would say, look, man, the Lord's been really good to you. I don't know why you're being all hopeless and all you're crying like you got no hope. But look, the Lord's been good to you. You need to find rest in Him. And sometimes we don't have a friend to tell us that. And you got to talk to yourself. You have to tell your soul, the Lord's been good to you. Christian, the Lord's been good to you. I don't know why you're getting all messed up by this. You need to find your rest in Him. Christian, oh my soul, praise the Lord. Oh my soul, be at rest once more. And we can learn a lot from what this psalmist is doing. All right, instead of just sulking and being downcast, what does he do? He talks to himself. He talks to himself. Why are you so downcast? What's disturbing you, man? And sometimes you don't know for yourself. And it's good to talk to yourself. You know? What's wrong? And sometimes you'll be down and you don't even know why you're down. Especially like the melancholies when things have been like built up for months and then you're all of a sudden it's down and you don't even know. You gotta ask yourself. Marcus, why are you so downcast? Brian, what's wrong? Lift your head up. Lift your head up. Keep your head up. Don't you dare let this bring you down. You got responsibilities. What, you gonna neglect it because of all this? Alright, you need to start talking to yourself sometimes. Amen. Hallelujah. And what does the psalmist say to himself? Look with me. Look in verse 5. What does the psalmist say to himself? He says, put your hope in God.
He says, why are you downcast? What's disturbing you? Put your hope in God. And I like the King James Version. I'll read it out to you. The King James Version says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh yeah. And I've missed a whole lot of stuff there. All right. King James Version, I think, does a real good job of that. It's real poetic. It's true to the original. And this is a command. Whenever you get down and things look like it ain't gonna work out, God commands you to put your hope in him. This is a command. The command, the word hope here, comes from the Hebrew word yakal. And that means to wait, to be patient, to hope, to trust. And brothers and sisters, this is a command. Wait on the Lord. What's disturbing you so much? Christian, wait on the Lord. Be patient in God. Why are you so downcast? Look, put your hope in him. Trust in the Lord your God. This depression, it ain't yours. Don't sign for that package. You send it back. This depression is not yours. Why are you so downcast? Put your hope in the Lord. And what's the next part right after that? It says, for I will yet praise him. And in the King James it says, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. What is countenance? What is that big word all about? I didn't know until about 4 years ago. I had to look it up. I don't know what countenance meant. What is countenance? When somebody says, oh, you have a very nice countenance. Yeah, that means your musub, your appearance, your vibe. You have a nice countenance. And when people talk about that, they're mostly talking about the characteristics of your face. And the psalmist says, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So what does that mean, the help of his countenance? That means for the help of God's face. When God's face shines upon you. You ever guys remember during the benedictions at the end of services? What do the pastors usually say? What do Pastor Sam now that he's ordained, what does he say? He says things like, may the Lord be gracious to you. May he make his face shine upon you. If you look through the Old Testament, that phrase is repeated over and over again. May the Lord's face shine upon you. What does that mean? When the Lord puts his face upon you. You know, you ever be like in a crowd and you're trying to get somebody important attention? You know? You're like, hey, Michael Jordan! Yo, Michael Jordan! Yo, Michael! Yo, Michael Jordan! I tried. You know? But he doesn't look towards your way. Or like, you're like, Mr. President, can I shake your hand? Mr. President, get out of my way. Mr. President, can I shake your hand? All right. He didn't look toward your way. But if Mr. President, all these people are around, get me out of here. And all of a sudden he stops and looks at you. And says, gentlemen, it's a pleasure to meet you. And he turns his face, his countenance towards you. What's that mean? He's shown you favor. He's shown you favor. Out of all the people in the crowd, he's showing you favor. And that's what the psalmist means. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. For I'm about to praise him for the help of his for the help of his countenance, because he's going to help me by turning his face toward me, by showing his favor toward me. I'm about to praise him, because as long as I put my hope in him, he's going to turn his face and his favor toward me. Oh, hallelujah. All of us, brothers and sisters, are going to get down. If you haven't been down for a while, I'm sorry to say, you'll probably get down sooner or later. It's going to come. Things are going to make you down. Things are not always going to go your way. All of us are going to get down, but let me tell you something. We don't have to stay down. As a people of God, you may get down, but you are never to stay down. Not the children of the King. Not the people of the inheritance. Not the people of royal priesthood. No matter what the circumstance, when you get down, God gives us a command. And that command is to rejoice. Amen? It's to rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Rejoice. Paul didn't do that for every other command that he left in that letter. But with the rejoicing, he does. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, be joyful always. Be joyful always. What does that mean to be joyful always? That means that you have to put a smile on your face. Ah, I'm joyful, I'm joyful, I'm a Christian, you know? Like Ned Sanders in The Simpsons, is that his name? Ned Flanders, my fault. I want some KFC. I don't know, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Colonel Sanders, right? Ned Flanders, right? Happy-go-lucky, oh, I'm a Christian. Hey, look at me, I'm joyful always. Hey, hey neighbor, hey. My lawnmower just broke, but I'm happy. I mean, is that what it means to rejoice in the Lord always? If you want it to be that, I think that's all right. If you're happy with that. Brothers and sisters, it's a no-brainer. If things are going good, you're going to rejoice. If things are going good, it's easy to rejoice. If you don't rejoice when things are going good, there's something wrong with you. It's when things happen that bring you down. That's when it counts. That's when it matters. Whether you give the sacrifice of praise. Whether you refuse to let your emotions control you. And you start controlling your emotions. You start rejoicing in the Lord. Your mind may not understand. Your heart may not feel it. But you let your spirit rise up. And you rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't say rejoice in the circumstance always. Because as long as your eyes are on that circumstance, as long as your eyes are on that Jericho, you're not going to rejoice. It does not say rejoice in your circumstances always. It says rejoice in the Lord always. Because though your circumstances come and go and change, the Lord remains the same. And when you rejoice, that's what it means to rejoice always. It's to rejoice in the bad times. Rejoice when you are downcast. That's what it means to rejoice always. Because that's what a people of God do. When the apostles faced persecution, they rejoiced. Oh, that's crazy. That's what a people of God are called to do. To rejoice in the face of suffering. Rejoice. Because you know that your brethren are going undergoing the same kind of trials as you are. Rejoice greatly. Jesus said, blessed are you when men falsely accuse you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you in my name. For the sake of my name. He says, blessed are you. And then he says, rejoice and be glad. For this is the way that they treated all the prophets before you. That's what it means to rejoice always. To not let your circumstance control your joy. Happiness will always come and go. You know, every Korean drama that's ever written, it's about happiness. As if happiness is like the goal of life. And even Korean parents, they bought into this. You know what? When I see like young people, say Korean Americans that are trying to get married, you know, even godly Christian parents, the one thing that comes to the forefront of their minds is happiness. Is this man going to make my daughter happy? Is he going to provide in such a way that she'll always be happy? That's their main concern. Happiness. Because you know why? That's what your parents do. All they do is watch Korean dramas. Alright? I know my mom does. Every time I go home, there's like a stack of tapes up to the ceiling. I'd be like, Mom, how long did it take you to watch that? Like, over the weekend? She just does those marathon runs. Oh, crying. Is that my son? Is that my son going through stuff like that? And it gets all ingrained in their head. Like, oh, 행복하면, oh, yeah. Happiness is where it's at. It's all about happiness. Brothers and sisters, happiness is always attached to your circumstances. And your circumstances are always going to change. They're not always going to remain constant. And if you bank your happiness on your health, on your circumstances, on your career, upon a person, and that person gets struck down with leukemia, like they always do in the Korean dramas, or your career falls apart, or your health, which you can't control, falls apart, so does your happiness. But a people of God is not to pursue happiness. We are to pursue holiness. We are to rejoice in not your circumstances. Rejoice always not in your spouse or in your career. It's to rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And you know, something funny happens when you do that. Something very funny happens when you rejoice in the Lord. You might be down. I can't take this no more. Oh, Christian, why are you... This is me talking to myself. Christian. Christian, I can't do this no more. You gotta be strong. No, I can't do this no more. Christian, I can't do this. Lord, I can't do this. Christian, I can't do this. Christian, stop. You can do it. No, I can't do this. Christian, what? Why are you so downcast? You know why? What's troubling you? Why are you so disturbed? You know why? Look, Christian, put your hope in the Lord. I am. I know I'm supposed to. I know. Put your hope in the Lord. No, don't give me that. Put your hope in the Lord, Christian. Oh, my soul. You're going to listen to what I have to say because these are the words of the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. Okay, all right, I'm there. All right, what? Rejoice in Him. What? That's like the last thing I want to do. Turn on that Israel Houghton CD and start rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say it. Again, I'll say it. Rejoice. I ain't feeling it yet. Keep going. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say it. Oh, I'm feeling it. Again, I say it. What's going on? Oh, yeah, I feel something. And when you rejoice in the Lord, always, something funny happens. Something rises up in your spirit.
And for those who've experienced, you know exactly what I mean. Something rises up. And you get strengthened.
Nehemiah 8:10 says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." For the joy of the Lord is your strength.
When you rejoice, something in your spirit man gets awakened. A strength begins to rise up.
If you look into Psalm 42 and 43, right? This guy's really downcast. He says, "My tears have been my food day and night. While men say to me all day long, 'Where's your God? Where's your God? Where's your God?' Ah, I can't stand it. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in the Lord. For I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." And he keeps going. And he's like, "My soul so downcast, my soul so downcast. Therefore, I'll remember you. In the land of Jordan, you did this. In the heights of Hermon, you did that. When I went to that retreat, you did this. When I was going through that car accident, you gave me that. Oh, I'm going to remember you, Lord. I'm going to remember you." Deep calls to deep. Deep calls to deep. See, when you start remembering the circumstances that God delivered you from, when you start to remember how good it was on the heights of that mountain, you see, that was a deep experience. When you start remembering that, deep calls out to deep. And right now, you're so agonizing. And it's a deep thing. And what you need other deep things to call out to your deep. And deep calls out to deep. And this guy just keeps on going. "All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs His love, and night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, 'Why have you first forgotten me, Lord? Why must I go out mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, "Where's your God? Where's your God? Where's your God? Where's your God? I can't take it no more. Why are you so downcast? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my God, my Savior." And he's talking to himself. And he's talking to himself. And he's talking to himself. And look with me in Psalm 43. Look what happens. This guy kept putting his hope in God. He kept rejoicing in God. Instead of being down, instead of staying depressed, instead of getting defeated, he continues to put his hope in God. He keeps doing it, and he's finding the strength. The strength, the joy of the Lord is my strength. As he rejoices, the strength rises up in his struggle. And his spirit rises up. And what does he do? Look with me. Psalm 43, what does he do? "Vindicate me, God. Plead my case. Rescue me. Send forth your light and your truth." Does that man sound like a man who's just going to curl up in a corner and die? This is a man that's rising up because he's finding a strength to take hold of God's promise because he's putting his hope in God, because he's rejoicing. He prays with a new boldness. Do you see the change? You get to Psalm 43 and he's praying with a new boldness and persistence. Nothing in his circumstance has changed. Everything is the same. But his prayer is different. His spirit rises up to take joy in the Lord his God. If you look in verse 4, it says, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God." And he says the same thing at the end of that chapter. Same exact word, but if you miss it, you're going to miss it. You see, he says the same words, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" But by the third time, can you hear his attitude's changed? His attitude has changed. It's not, "Oh, why is downcast, O my soul?" It's, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, and I will yet praise Him, my Lord and my God, the one who helps me by turning His face toward me, making His face and His favor shine upon me." Brothers and sisters, that's what we are called to do, to rejoice in the Lord always. Whenever you get down, God does not want you to stay down. You are to rejoice, and He will lift you up. You will feel your spirit rise up. You will begin to praise Him with a new song. You will begin to come up with a new boldness. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let's pray.